To the New Testament, to 1 Peter. I was over there in a motel this morning and praying and thinking about it. I got about four or five different messages I'm raring to preach, and for some reason God keeps pulling me back to a message that I preached quite a bit. And I guess I need it more than any other message I preach. That must be why I probably preach it more than any other message. But go to 1 Peter chapter number 5. If you're able and don't mind, please stand for the reading of the Word of God. And we'll start with verse number 1. Is this thing on and doing well? Everybody hear me good? Yeah, good. Verse number 1, 1 Peter, chapter number 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning and know that outside of the Holy Ghost of God and the power and unction and anointing that you put on a man, that we can't do a thing today. So I pray, Lord, that you would just hedge this place about, help it to be a place where, as the men of God preach this morning, that the Word of God would have free course in our midst, and that you would help us to come in this morning with hearts that are prepared and ready to receive the Word of God, and that we'd all have a readiness of mind. I pray, God, that the devil would be bound, that the flesh and all those things that would battle us, that you would hold those back this morning and just give us a good morning in the house of God. Touch every man of God that comes up, every singer and every testimony and everything that's said and done, that you might be lifted up in our midst, Lord. And I know that when you are, all men are drawn unto you. I ask, Lord, that you put your touch and your unction on this portion of Scripture and the preaching of it now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Want to preach on this verse in chapter 5 and verse number 5. And want to preach on this topic of humility. And I guess one of the reasons that I keep coming back and preaching this message, and I've got three, four, five different versions of it, but I guess I need it. You know, every morning I wake up, Brother Broughton, every morning I wake up and the flesh wants to take charge. Every single morning, you know. And so, Brother, what I do is I get up. Now, you don't know me, so you might think, since you don't know me, that I'm a little, you know, way out there. But I walk over to the mirror and I look at myself. Now, I'm not admiring myself. I'm not thinking, you handsome fella, you. I'm not doing that at all. I'm looking at the flesh and I'm saying, you're not getting your way today. I know what you're up to. I've read it in the Bible. I've experienced you every day, and you're not getting your way today. Now, that's how I set the day off. But, you know, it's not too long, Brother Knopfsinger, and the flesh is already getting an upper hand, and I hadn't even noticed it. You know, somebody's done cut in front of me and driving, and I'm thinking, you stupid knucklehead. You know, and that's the flesh. You know, that's not the Holy Spirit of God. You know, the Holy Spirit of God is gentle, easy to be entreated, and you just look at that list in Galatians chapter number 5. That's the list of the fruit of the Spirit. And so when you don't see all those ornaments and those graces of the fruit of the Spirit hanging, you know you're in your flesh. And by the way, to be in the flesh, all you got to do is do nothing. That's all you got to do. Just do nothing. And you will walk in the flesh today. See, it's a battle. And the Apostle Paul said that in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. And when you get up in the morning, you know the flesh didn't get saved when you got saved. You know, you're living in an old, wicked flesh. And it's what we have to do till the day we get home. It's part of our battle. And so this area of humility
is, it, you know, the flesh is just exactly opposite. The flesh is full of pride. It's full of self. And that's the way you'll be. You won't be full of humility. And if we're ever going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have to put on those attributes and those characters that the Holy Ghost of God can enable us to be like Him. And this area is totally against the flesh, being humble. Brother Ferret, you can come up to me, and you can even be teasing like a pink church. And if you teased in the wrong way, and I'm in the flesh, I could actually get a little upset. I could be thinking, well, who does that brother think he is? I can wear a pink shirt if I want to wear a pink shirt. I mean, that's how the flesh does it, you know. And we can look at people just like Brother Richardson said, us independent fundamental Baptists, you know, we can get all our doctrinal I's dotted and all our T's crossed, and we can know it all, and we can have an attitude of knowing it all. And guess what? That kind of an independent fundamental Baptist doesn't help me one bit. I don't even like to be around that kind of an independent fundamental Baptist. I want to be around someone that's full of the Holy Ghost, someone that acts like Jesus, because that kind of person helps me. When I'm around Dr. James Jones, that brother helps me, and I'm telling you, and it's not in his great preaching, and he's a great preacher. It's not in his great books, Brother Broughton. He's got good books. But I was walking down over there at our camp, and we were on a little old narrow sidewalk. It wasn't big enough for just one person, you know, goes out of our fellowship hall to that restroom area, and he and I were walking down there. All of a sudden, he just grabs me like that, brother, and pulls me off the sidewalk in the grass. And I thought, what's he doing? And here's a 17-year-old girl coming the other way, and he says, now you come on, young lady. You know, he's a gentleman, a Christian gentleman. I was full of preacher talk. I was talking to James Jones, brother. You know, we were full of the Word of God. We were talking. I didn't have time for just that little old 17-year-old girl, but Dr. James Jones did. Amen. And the Holy Ghost beat the daylights out of me right there. Said, why didn't you pull him off? Yeah. That's what the Holy Ghost did to me, Brother Brock. Yeah. Why didn't I do that? You know, that's because I'm full of myself too much. And so as I think about this topic of humility, I wonder, you know, the Bible says, we have not, Brother Nofsinger, because we ask not, don't we? Yeah. So I wonder how many of us get up in the morning, every morning, and say, Lord, would you help me to have Christ-like humility? I wonder how many of us pray for these areas in our life that we have such great need of, and yet we fail over and over and over again. Don't you think that's the kind of prayer that God will answer? I'm sure that's the kind of prayer. You know, He says that we can come boldly to the throne of grace in the time of need, huh? And when we need help, we can come to Him, and that's the kind of prayer that He'll answer. So, in this area of being clothed with humility, I made this note. Peter implies that the humility of a Christian ought to be just like my suit. It ought to be on me so much that humility strikes the eye of every beholder. So I wonder, when people come up to us, they meet us for the first time. They talk to us just a little bit. I wonder if what's radiating out of our life is an attitude of Christ-like humility. And I'll guarantee you one thing. If that's what's coming out of your life, you will draw people to Christ. They will want to be like you because that's how Jesus is. And when you've got this book and you know every little jot and tittle in it and you can straighten everybody out with it, you're not helping people without humility. And I'm not against doctrine, by the way. I've got a number of books back there that'll help and a lot of other things. That's not what I'm preaching against. I'm preaching for humility. Without humility, a lot of the things that we do are wood and hay and stubble. And so when we think of this topic, to me, it's one of the greatest needs that I have in my life. Christ-like humility ought to be something when you meet me and talk to me that you say, one thing about Brother Gresham, he's humble. Now, I don't think that's what comes across a lot of the times, and that bothers me. And that's why I have to pray for it, probably why I have to preach for on it so much. The Webster Dictionary defines humility or humble as this: lowly, modest, meek, submissive. There's an attitude in independent fundamental Baptists that when we're meek and lowly and submissive, that we're weak. That is a fleshly, ungodly way to look at it. That is pure flesh. And if you think that someone that's humble is weak, you've got your thinking wrong. And you need to let Christ straighten you out. Now here's what I put for a definition, good or bad. For the Christian, humility is this: having a low opinion of oneself and a deep unworthiness in the sight of Almighty God. When you see yourself as completely unworthy, when you got up this morning, probably one of the most abiding thoughts that should have hit your mind is, Lord, I don't even know why you mess with me. I don't even... See, we've let secular humanism and positive thinking and all those kind of things infiltrate the church to the point where we want self-esteem, you know. And I hear preaching on it in independent fundamental Baptist churches. And we got, oh no, you don't want to look down on yourself. Well, there's a bad way of looking down on yourself, but there's also a good way of looking down on yourself. And when you have humility, that's a good way. You ought to see yourself low and unworthy of an Almighty God. And I don't know why He went down to Alabama, brother, and saved you. I don't know why He went over out west in Washington State and saved me when I was out there. I have no idea why He did that. I don't know why He loved me. But He does. And thank God that He does. I was looking, of course I read a lot, so I was looking and I was thinking of this thought. How many times do we try to straighten people out? You know, we it's real easy to look. You, Brother Nofsinger, I can pick out your faults real easy. It's real easy for us to look at one another and say, well, I see this about that, brother. But how about let's just humble in ourselves and let's just learn to let things... I think Brother Richardson touched on it. We was talking about the church. Let's just learn about our differences a little bit. You know, we are different.
Yeah, we are.
Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Yeah, God made every one of us just like we are. Now, if our differences are wrong, you know, if your doctrine's all messed up, if you're, you know, somebody... I was reading a book the other day and this woman got saved. She'd been a prostitute. And the evangelist that was there had led her to the Lord. He came back the next year for that meeting, and he asked about her. She was back into her old pathway again. And he said, I want to go visit her. And he went and visited her. He said, I thought you were a Christian. And she said, oh, I am. I'm now a Christian prostitute. You know, I mean, you know, that's no more Christian than the man in the moon. If that's what we're talking about, then you don't have it at all. You need to go back to get-go. Yeah. You know, when you get saved, something happens. That's why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, behold, all things are passed away and all things are become new. When you get the Holy Ghost of God... By the way, when you get somebody as big as God in you, you also get His attributes. And, you know, love is God, right? You ought to be loving people. When you get up... How in the world can we get up in the morning and walk into this world that we're living in and walk by people and not even take the time to give them a gospel tract? What kind of love is that? See, we're remiss. If we can't get out and tell other people about... Now, we're not playing the Holy Ghost. We're not getting people saved. That's not our role, brother. That's the Holy Ghost's role. But we're obligated to tell them and to lead them and to help them to Christ. There's getting some imbalance in this area. And I'll tell you, the humility of Christ will always put you down and always put God up. Always. Always. George Whitefield put it this way. I don't know if you guys know too much about George Whitefield, but George Whitefield and his young preacher boys, you know, preacher boys have a lot of zeal. Not necessarily knowledge, but they got a lot of zeal. Acts talks about it really fast. And so they got into all these big discussions with Wesley and his group. And you know, they were arguing over this thing on eternal security. And so they got so zealous, those young preacher boys of Whitefield, they said, you even think we'll see John Wesley in heaven? You know what Whitefield said? He said, I fear we won't see him. He'll be so close to the eternal throne and us so far away we won't catch a glimpse of him.
Yeah.
Now there's a man that disagreed violently with another man. And yet, for the example of those young preacher boys, and for the that's why you ought not to get onto Facebook and argue with people on a public internet. That stuff hurts lost people when they see you arguing over that. You don't do any good. Don't get on there and argue with some sodomite. Try to lead them to Jesus. That nonsense on all that public media is hurting the cause of Christ. People get mad in a church and they go out and they air all their dirty laundry out for the world to see. That's wrong. No humility in that whatsoever. None. And so Whitefield gave us a prime example of humility. We ought to learn that even when we disagree with people, that we can be humble. I've tried doing this. You can call it compromising if you like, but it helps me. Brother Nofsinger, if you and I disagree, I say, well, you're probably right, brother. Isn't that okay? See, the flesh don't like that. Oh, no, I don't want to be wrong. I got to prove my point here. You know? You know what I mean, Brother Ferry? Yeah. Hey, I know my Bible, brother. You can't tell me that. You know, that's just old wicked flesh. That's all that is. I don't care how much you know. That's just the flesh. When you catch yourself having to outdo your brother, or you don't even have the time to stop and listen to your brother and give him an opportunity, you've already got your answer formulated. You're not even listening to it. I've got my next answer ready. I know what he said, and I've got my rebuttal right here. I'm ready. You know, not even listening. There's no more humility in that than the man in the moon. Andrew Murray put it this way. I love Andrew Murray. Here, listen to what he said. If you don't hear anything else, just listen to this. The humble man feels no jealousy or envy. Man, how much jealousy and envy come to a meeting. Man, he got to preach. I didn't. Can't believe that. I was ready. He must have missed the will of God. You know, I mean, that's how we are. And feels no envy, no jealousy. Hey, preacher called on her but didn't call on me. You know, they got a visit, but I didn't. They got recognized in the service, but I didn't. So we're still full of flesh in the church. In the church, we're full of flesh. And we've got to get this Christ-like humility back into our life. And he goes on to say that the humble man can praise God when others are preferred and blessed above himself. How about that? He can bear to hear others praise while he's forgotten, because he has received the Spirit of Christ, who pleased not himself, who sought not his own honor. Therefore, in the putting on of the Lord Jesus Christ, he put on the heart of compassion and kindness and meekness and long-suffering and humility. Humility. If you would just work on those five things, your compassion. You know, Jude says that saving some out of compassion. You know, we if you don't have compassion for lost people, you don't have God in the right position in your heart. I'm telling you, I've been to places and I've been in a hurry and I drove off and the Holy Ghost beats the daylights out of me. You didn't even take time to give that person a track. There's something wrong with you when you won't even take a minute to give somebody a track. God's not asking you, brother, to go through the whole plan of salvation and pigeonhole him. He's not. He just wants you to be a faithful witness to him. We're too full of ourselves. That's why some people, when God is prompting you in a service to say amen, glory to God, praise God, or when the pastor calls on a testimony and you just want to get up but you don't, you know why? The flesh is holding you back. You're embarrassed. You don't want to embarrass your flesh. That's why you don't get up and testify. That's why, now, not everybody's the same. My wife, she doesn't ever get up and give a testimony, but she'll sit over there and just weep and cry and weep and cry. And, you know, she loves the Lord. So there's no magic formula here, but I'll guarantee you that if you're in a church service and God's speaking to your heart and He says you need to get up and give that testimony, or you, hey, you know, it's getting to you. I remember what B.R. Lakin said one time. He was preaching in an old, cold, dead Presbyterian church, and this little boy, a country boy, had just gotten saved, had his boots on and everything, and he got up, and boy, it got all over him when B.R. Lakin was preaching. He said, "Praise God! Amen! Glory to God!" And Brother Lakin stopped his preaching, and he said, "You just help yourself, young man, but be careful for the ice. It's a little slick in here." Yeah. See, we got too much ice in our churches today. It's too cold. It's too formal. We need to let loose. We need to let the Spirit of God work in our hearts and our lives. O.M.R. DeHaan, I like to read after him. He said about humility, it's something we should consistently pray for, just like I said earlier. If you're not praying for humility, that's the place to start. If you get nothing out of this message, nothing at all, you ought to go out of here and every day from now on pray that God will give you Christ-like humility. And he said it's something we ought to pray for but never thank God for. It's like that guy that wrote that book. You know, we've all heard about that. Humility and How I Attained It. You know, yeah. Yeah, right. It's not a good one. And you know, the opposite of humility, it's good to look at opposite things to give you the contrast. The opposite's pride. That's what we walk in our flesh. By the way, you know, just like I said earlier, you don't have to do anything to walk in your pride. Just like you don't have to do anything to walk in your flesh. Nothing. Just get up in the morning, brother. Just get up in the morning. We'll be full of our pride. Totally full. Won't even recognize it. See, we have gotten into a habit of living in the flesh and walking in the flesh so much that we don't even notice not being in the Spirit sometimes. We just get up, go through our motions, do our routine. We even do that with our Christian stuff. You know, we'll get up in the morning, Brother Broughton, and we'll get our Bible out and read that Bible, get our checklist. All right, check, I got that done. Oh, praying now. And we'll pray. Check, got that done. I'll get my tracts. I need to go tell people. Check, 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 check. And we've got it all down into this routine of checking. And you know what that is? That's old human secularism that's come into the church. And we've got all the world's methods and all the world's tactics. We've learned how to organize the church. We're using marketing techniques and all these things. And if you get to a different message totally, you get to looking at the emerging church. And you look at what independent fundamental Baptist churches are starting to do today. And you're going to find very little difference in the tactics. The old, tiny way was praying in the Holy Ghost and getting hold of God. I mean, you go back, churches have changed today. They have changed. Big time. Go back and get you a CD about maybe 40 years ago. Amen! Praise the Lord! And you got exhorters down here. Preach! Preacher! Preach! It's a totally different church today. Everybody's quiet. I don't think people are totally dead. They've just got lulled. And so we've got a problem in this area. Pride. Do you know that one old Puritan writer, Brother Nofsinger, he put it about this about pride. He said, there's no sort of sinners that God is so opposed to as proud sinners. They are wholly, wholly, wholly out of His favor and in His high displeasure. When you get up in the morning and you're walking in your pride, you are completely out of favor with God. God is opposed to you. In fact, that term resist is a military term. It means to oppose, just like an opposing army opposes. God is at war with you when you're in your pride. He sets His face against you. It's all through the Old Testament. And God set His face against them. And God set His face against them. And God set His face against them. When you get up and you walk in your pride, can you imagine all of us, how many love Jesus? Oh yeah, I love Jesus. You walk in your pride and you got His face set against you. You're wholly out of His favor. I love Jesus though. Yeah. We need to wake up. We need to wake up. We need to quit playing church. Quit playing Christian. We need to wake up and get serious with God and look at ourselves and let a holy God. My favorite prayer every morning is, Lord, if there's anything in my life that displeases You, would You please show it to me? I want You to give me the grace to deal with it. Help me to be a better Christian today. I need it. I'm not just going to wake up in my flesh and be a better Christian. I've got to ask a holy God, Brother Richardson. I need Him. I need God. I can't do it by myself. I'll fail every single time if I try to do it in the energies of the flesh. You know, we can get all the, and I'm for it. You can get all the good character you want. You can get courage, bravery, every character you want to name. You can get all that good character, and it's all good. But that won't get you living for God like the Holy Ghost of God. A Spirit-filled Christian is the only way to walk and walk in a way that's well-pleasing to God. And so, in fact, over there in Proverbs, where he lists those six things he hates, and you know, it says a proud look. God don't even like the look of pride on your face, much less pride in your life. He don't even like the look on your face. He's against you when you're that way. Here's a quote I love. This is my favorite quote on this topic. Think about this the next time someone tries to cut you off when you're driving. Or the next time someone says something in church that you don't like or doesn't set well with you. Accept every humiliation. Look upon every person who tries your patience or irritates you as a means of God's grace to humble you. Yeah, yeah. That's my favorite quote right there. If you don't get anything else, write that down and try to practice that. I'll guarantee you, you'll have yourself a full-time job for the next month if you try that right there. Look upon every person who irritates you or tries your patience. Accept every humiliation that comes in your life as a means of God's grace to humble you.
Brokenness or contrition is something that is the opposite of pride. And that's what we need so desperately. We talk about these meetings, revival meetings. I don't even think
people know what a revival is anymore. You know, these meetings that we call revivals, they're just meetings. Now, we might pray and hope that God will revive some of us. Yeah, but revival meetings, not just coming and hearing good preaching and testifying, some good singing, and going and eating and enjoying the blessings of God. That's not revival. Revival takes, you know, you remember Brother Joe Cooper? Yeah, Brother Joe Cooper and I were talking. I think he's around 70, isn't he? Somewhere in that age. He's down over there by Nickajack Lake in Tennessee. You go and you go off to the west out in the middle of the boonies. There's a little town there that's 25, 30 people. He's got a country church that had about 10 to 12 people. And he took that church over like a mission church, and he was going to try to get it going again for God. And they started praying. They prayed for a total month. All of them come down. I mean, this little old church, this little old band of people meant business. And they come down and they started praying that God would do revival. God led him to bring a nobody preacher in so he didn't get the latest doctor. And I'm not against people that are in their doctors, so don't take me wrong with that. But he didn't get the latest big name out there. And he didn't take out ads, and he didn't put any bulletins or any flyers out. All they did was pray for a solid month. The first night of revival meeting, people started pouring in. They didn't even know where they come from. It was over 100 people there. That thing got protracted and went out 6 weeks. This is just a year ago now. Don't tell me revival doesn't still go on. But they had the spirit of humility, and they meant business with God in prayer. And that's what it takes. Quit substituting all this other junk that's out there for the power of God in prayer and for the humility and Christ-like walkness and a heart that yearns and desires and thirsts after God. You were talking about it last night, brother. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. See, I wonder how thirsty are we today. And then, you know, he was giving little devotionals. I just got in last night. But his last night was, not only are you thirsty, not only are you seeking a holy God, but then you do the things that God tells you to do. Now, God tells us to be humble. Humble yourself. Did you see it in the passage there? Look at it. To humble yourselves before an almighty God. That's what he says. Yeah. So, if we're going to be obedient to Him, we got to do those things. Look at it. It's in verse number 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Now, if you want to be exalted, if that's your reason for humbling yourselves, then you've already missed it again. That's the wrong motive. It's just like if you got an enemy, and you say, I know how to get him, I'll start killing him with kindness. You done hit the wrong motive again. That's the wrong motive. You don't put heat coals of fire on people because you're mad at them, or you're gonna get them, or you're gonna sick God on them. That's not humility.
So what do we do? What do we do? We're in a situation where we've been losing too many battles in the inner man, in the personal walk with God. That's why the church is affected. You know this church. It's not the church. It's the people that make up the church. You know, every one of us come in here, and we ought to come in. You know, we're going to have to get back to old Christian living. In other words, on Saturday night, you don't stay up watching TV. I'm not preaching against TV. You got a TV, you stay up on Saturday, that's your business. I'm telling you a way that will help you prepare yourself for Sunday morning. How about instead of TV and all these family activities and vacation and wearing yourself out on a Saturday, how about getting yourself prepared and ready for Sunday morning? See, Sunday morning to the Christian is the highlight of the week. That's the best day of our week, is to come to the house of God and look to worship God and meet with Him. That's our highlight. And so why wouldn't you do those things? I mean, if the highlight of your day is a good meal, would you like your wife to take out maybe a pizza from a fast food place? No, you want to get that roast going on. You want to prepare yourself for that good meal.
You know, you're not going to just do things on a whim. And that's what people do in their Christian life and with their church worship. That's why there's no worship. He's not lifted up. We're full of flesh half the time. We get mad at everybody all the time. The church is in a mess today. And we need God. We need God. And so, what do we do? Well, here, let me read you this. Humility is perfect quietness of heart. It is for me to have no trouble, never to be fretted or vexed or irritated or sore or disappointed. I wonder if any of us could say any of this. Is it to expect nothing? Man, I'm telling you. To wonder at nothing that's done to me, to feel nothing done against me. It is to be at rest when nobody praises me, when I'm blamed or despised. It is to have a blessed home in the Lord. By the way, blamed or despised, I've had people probably to this day that they don't like me. They've done things wrong to me. But am I going to sit around, Brother Farrell, am I going to sit around and think, well, you did something wrong to me, and just get that in my mind and just mull it over and then start getting bitter and angry, lose my power with God, grieve and quench the Holy Spirit of God, because He says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away, huh? Be put away. You need to put that stuff away. That's all inward sin. Every bit of that sin quenches and grieves the Spirit of God. If you're going to live for God, you're going to have to look at those things in your life and deal with them honestly and admit it. You can't control what other people do to you, and you can't control what other people say. But you can sure control how you live and how you respond and what you do according to the Word of God. And you need to be doing that. So, it is to have a blessed home in the Lord where I can go, shut the door, and kneel to my Heavenly Father in secret. And be at peace as in a deep sea of calmness when all around me is trouble. And boy, we got trouble around us, don't we? But you learn to get into that old secret place with God. You learn to get alone with God. You learn to get the power of God and the Holy Spirit of God on you. You learn how to walk in the Spirit. You learn how to put down the flesh and battle the flesh. And you'll have the peace of God that passes all understanding, that'll be keeping your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You won't be worried. By the way, the day that the Supreme Court voted sodomy in, guess what? The sun was still shining. The moon came out that night. The stars came out. God's world just kept on going. That didn't bother God in the sense of His realm and the things that He's got on His mind no more than the man in the moon. Now, He don't like the wickedness and the sin. And this nation will get judged, but that's another message. But God's still God. God's still in control. God's still able to work in your life. God's still able to do for you everything you need and more than you ever think. That's why He said in Ephesians, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so, when we go into that secret place and we've got all that peace and we get that help from God, and we get up from that, and boy, tears are coming down, Brother Broughton. It's been a blessing. If we get up and we go out the doors, and we go into that world out there, and what was over here at the altar in the blessings of God doesn't translate out there, then 1 John 4:20 says this, If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. He's a liar. When you get up and go out there, if it doesn't translate out there in that world, then God says you're a liar. I didn't say it. Word of God. I wouldn't call you a liar. That's liable to offend you. But that's what God said. See, we got to, and that's because self is in control. That's why. And you've done checked off. You've been in church. Been to camp meeting. Check. Got her. Yeah. But it didn't change me. I didn't go out there and do anything different. You know, when you leave this camp meeting on Friday night, you ought to be determined right now that I'm going to get something from every message. I'm going to ask God to help me in every way. And when I walk out of there Friday night, when this is all said and done, I'm going to be changed. I'm going to take some steps. You know, different message, but that's a step, right? And that's a step. So I'm going to start taking some of those spiritual steps that get me closer to God. So when camp meeting's over, I'm a little closer to God. I'm in a position where God can bless me a little more. I'm in a position where God can use me a little more. I'm in a position to be a blessing to my brother. So, James puts it this way. You have not because you ask not. I say again. Who in here prayed this morning, God, please humble me. Please help me to have the humility of Christ. I don't think many of us did. You might be sitting there thinking, oh, I did. I prayed for that this morning. Watch out. Pride. Watch out. Only death leads to perfect humility. Paul put it this way in Galatians, I'm crucified with Christ, yet not I. Who knows the verse? Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Turn in your Bibles. I want you to see this passage of Scripture. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 7. I want you to look at this and then we're going to close. I didn't pay attention to the clock, Brother Richardson, so I hope I'm not taking too long. Look in Acts chapter number 7 and look at the first martyr, Stephen, verse 54. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And look at this next verse. But he, look at this, being full of the Holy Ghost. Now I wonder right there, let's just stop. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, then you're dead to your flesh. You're dead to self. So he being full of the Holy Ghost, that's the key right there. Death to self, full of the Holy Ghost. Looked up steadfastly in heaven, saw the glory of God, Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and he said, Behold, I see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. You know, that's the Apostle Paul. And they stoned Stephen. And look what Stephen was doing while they stoned him. Calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lay not this sin to their charge. You remember somebody else that did that? Hanging on a cross. Lord, you know, that's my sin. It's your sin. Your sin. That's our sin. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. We need to be like Jesus. We need to develop Christ-like humility. Amen. Brother Richardson, I'm done. Amen. Amen.